So, Ralph, talk about what you guys are currently up to. Talk about what's currently happening with Primal Fear. And, of course, always great to have you on the show.
At the moment, nothing, but right now, everybody's at home and no activities with touring with some. No, nobody else is touring with Rock Meets Classics in a Wooden Circle or. Did I forget something? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, there's so many bands around us. And, yeah, at the moment, everybody's at home cleaning their houses. As I said, springtime, pollen flying around. Pollen. No, anyway, we just recorded a new album, we'll write, and we're really happy. We just worked until 2 weeks ago. We finished with the mixes, and everybody's really happy with the results. So that's a major milestone again we've done in the last couple of months. And right now there's some summer festivals coming on, starting actually in 3 weeks in Bulgaria. It's going to be the Varna Festival, and we're going to be 1 month later, we'll be in the Hells in France. There's going to be a Rock Hearts Festival again. There will be Bang Your Head. There will be the Sabaton Festival. And we're also going to be in Cremona, Italy. So I'm mixing up dates right now, but there's a lot of festivals coming on again. And of course, there's negotiations, and I think they're already concluded. They're already finished, and we've planned, as you saw already on our Primal Fear page on Facebook, that the European tour is already scheduled. And right now, we're in negotiations with more countries and also international countries. So the booking agency is very busy at the moment. I can tell that, yes.
Now, Ralph, let's talk a little bit. Let's go back in time a bit, because I started my show back in 1998, and it was right around the time, of course, that your first album came out, the debut self-titled album, Primal Fear, came out. And I'll tell you what, it really blew me away when it came out. And talk about how the band formed, and talk about recording that first album, because, you know, I'll tell you what, even to this day, it is still one of my favorite records that you guys had put out.
Do I really remember? Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, those were the times when, there was still no internet file swapping. So actually, we were basically meeting in the studio where Sinner was just recording their album, can't remember the name. And Matt asked me to sing some choir stuff with him, and I did. And as they knew that I didn't get the job for Judas Priest, they were thinking about maybe sitting together something, just recording a demo with a full track, with full tracks. And as the Japanese company JVC at that time were waiting for me anyway for some songs, so it was the perfect time to come together with the guys from here, from my hometown actually, because I was always going up to Hamburg with the Gamma Ray people and so forth, so I was not really at home anymore musical-wise. Family-wise, I was still here all around Stuttgart all the time, but musical-wise, it was always Hamburg, so we didn't meet so much at that time with the Sinner guys like Tom and Matt and also Klaus Schwerling from another band. So basically, but we knew each other because we're from the same scene. And actually, I was together with Klaus in school back at the time. So we were recording a demo, and we just sent the stuff to Japan, and they immediately were interested in a rock record deal. And at that time, companies were really fighting to get us here in Europe as well. So we were in a good position back then. So that's basically how it started. And I mean, we were just young and fresh, and we're still young and fresh, but we were at that time, we just came together and thought, let's do some metal, because we're all metal people, you know, so yeah. That's what we did.
Now I'm going to talk about your time in Gamma Ray, because I first heard you when I picked up a copy of Sigh No More, and I really loved your voice. And it came out at a time where metal really wasn't cool, especially here in the United States. And talk a bit about that era, you know, because obviously, after Gamma Ray, when the first Primal Fear album came out, heavy metal was really starting to make its comeback, and you were obviously part of that as well. So, you know, was it difficult for you, you know, singing in Gamma Ray during what we would consider the dark ages of heavy metal? And, you know, talk about your time back then and what it was like.
I didn't really think it was that hard, because metal was always there for me and still is. You know, there's always a certain amount of people of, maybe at that time it was a little bit of an underground, but there's always this healthy amount of people listening to heavy metal, because, I mean, metal fans are the truest in the world. And Plus, they're also very, very open-minded to all other genres. So basically, people who were listening to maybe Nirvana back at the time when metal was a little bit not so popular anymore still listened to heavy metal because, I mean, people are not so narrow-minded and just listen to one kind of thing, you know. That's basically also with the musicians. I'm not only listening to metal, of course, but that's the reason why it never really was so obvious for me that metal was somehow dead, how some people call it. It was never dead for me, mm-hmm. because it was always there, and I'm almost always a fan of this kind of music and the bands, as we all know, Maiden, Priest, Saxon, Judas Priest again, and Scorpions and so forth, except at the time. They really, injected it into our blood at the time, and that's how everything started. And this is the truth, Paul. This is the true thing inside me. I can only speak for myself, but I think there's only my other members in my band also would say that. That is always in the kernel of me. There's always heavy metal. Mm-hmm. But again, I am open-minded, and I will be open-minded. And when I joined Gamma Ray, as you said, that was the ending of Time Pace, my first band who brought out vinyl records already. And we were just destroyed. I'm talking about Time Pace. We were just destroyed by so-called managers, you know, soaking money out of our pockets and doing nothing for us in the end. So we had to pay some stuff back. Because they went to court and stuff, and the guitarist and me, we had to pay everything back, so we were doing some cover music back in the time. And then I heard that Kai has split it up with Halloween, and we have recorded a demo before that in Hamburg for another band, and we got to know each other personally, and we got along pretty well. And so he called me, basically it was somehow, he was thinking about doing something together with me afterwards, and I was thinking the same thing without speaking out. But then of course we had a phone call and we met in Hanover, and we met in Hamburg, and we set up this Kai Hansen project at the time. There was no Gamma Ray, no band name yet. But as soon as the album came out, the first one, Heading for Tomorrow, it was Gamma Ray, Kai Hansen's Gamma Ray, so-called, yeah. So, yeah, basically that's a lot. It's a lot around it, and so it's many things to tell around it, you know.
Well, Ralph, something that I've noticed about you, and you've done a very good job of taking care of yourself, not just physically, but even your singing voice. I really don't think, you know, some singers, they lose it over time. They can't hit the notes, but you're still able to hit the notes. You're still able to put on a pretty good show live. And physically, I think that you've really maintained yourself to a point to still be able to perform at that very high level. And you know, talk about what has it taken for you to do that. And you know, let's talk a bit about, you know, the upkeep of your singing voice.
First of all, thank you very much for the compliment. I mean, it's not getting easier. I can only say that because it's a muscle and it's a tissue inside my throat, just like everything else in my body. You have to take care of it. You have to do some maintenance. And that's basically what I'm doing. And it's also because I'm also a vocal teacher. I have students I always tell them, do the maintenance stuff. And I'm doing this maintenance exercises together with my students, and I'm really taking care of my voice when I'm on the road. You know, of course, you can somehow hide from a cold, because once the cold is in the nightliner, you have a cold, and when you sing on that, that's not the healthy thing. So but sometimes you have to, because when you tour in the States, you can't cancel the show, so you have to sing on the cold, and that's what happened to me as well. So I wouldn't say that I'm somehow like a machine or something with no problems. I also have my problems here and there, but that's the live music, that's the life factor behind it. You know, you just do the very best, and if it's not working, you can't change it. But thank you once again for your compliment. So again, I'm doing the maintenance stuff, and basically that's what keeps me in a good shape, also vocal-wise and physically-wise with my body. I don't do the bodybuilding like the steroid stuff or what else. So I'm just doing the fitness kind of thing and trying to keep in shape. Mm-hmm. And because that's my personal goal. I said to myself when I was 25, I'm not going to be a 50-year-old fat guy. So I lift my ass, and I'm not lazy in terms of that, and I just go to the fitness studio.
Right, and when I think of how well you've done, you know, over the years and consistent you have, I'll tell you what, Rob Halford at his age is sounding great as well.
I pay a lot of respect to Rob's endurance and stuff. Now he's touring since over a month in America, and I also listen to the YouTube and stuff up and down, and I really have to say, wow. And I'm really glad that he gotten better again, because I know he had some problems, more problems, and but he's over that. And I'm really, really happy. I'm really sitting there with a smile on my face when I see him and hear Priest on YouTube, and I'm going to catch him here in Europe as well, of course. I don't know if we play one festival. I think we play in different days. We might not meet together again like we did so many times before, but I'm really looking out when they come to Europe on a tour, not doing the festivals, when they're doing the real tour thing, and I'm going to catch them again.
You know, for the last 20 years, Ralph, you guys have really remained a very, very consistent band. And what has kept this band putting out consistently pretty good records, you know, since the debut?
First of all, we're a great team. I mean, Matt, Tom, myself, Magnus nowadays, who was not there between the older albums, but last 3-4 albums he was joining and writing, Alex, of course. Everybody's really, everybody has good ideas and gives their input. So that's, first of all, a great formula. And consistency and endurance is a big factor as well. You have to have that as a band, otherwise you will never survive. I mean, again, look at Priest. And you have to have this kind of thing. It's in your blood somehow. You cannot, you know, you can't stop, whether it's live playing or putting out some music, because it's basically our passion. It's not even the business side. There's always a business side of everything, but we started this kind of thing without thinking about making money or whatever, you know. So it's a positive factor is if it's happening, and we're very still in the very lucky position that we can say yes, we still earn a little bit of money out of that. It's not so easy anymore. Earning money means we can fill our fridges, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I still had to do the teaching thing and whatever, and all the other guys are doing 3 or 4 different bands to survive. Me as a vocalist, that's not always so easy, because my voice belongs to Primal Fear. And of course, I'm doing some side projects here and there. I sing a song or two for other bands, because first of all, I like the music also. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, I need to make a living out of it. And if I like a song, why should I say no? You know, so but basically that's the key. But coming back to your question, you have to have the consistency. You have to be patient, and you have to be lucky enough to have a good formula in the band, who are just a bunch of guys who are creating good music first of all for our ears, because what we would not judge for good, or if we have this certain kind of quality gate, we would never release something which we are not satisfied with. So
right.
First of all, that's that. Basically, in the end, it's Matt and me at the end who are Magnus and me who are judging which songs we would love to have on the album. We recorded 14 songs again, and we only released 11. So, and of course, we keep these 3 others for bonuses, or maybe also for the next album. Basically, we wrote a lot of stuff this time, so. And again, we would never release anything which we're not satisfied with.
Gotcha.
And also, that's basically also a factor, also a key, that we are somehow not putting out some fillers or stuff which we think are not worth to be on an album.
Now, Ralph, you put out a really killer solo album that got to the point where, you know, it really didn't get that much attention, but I thought it was pretty cool. Had some interesting stuff on there. And talk about that album, because I really don't think it got as much recognition as it should have.
Oh, yeah, that was just a bunch of songs I have collected on my hard disk here at home, because I'm pretty much the ballad guy. I'm just strumming a little bit on my acoustic guitar here and there and have some melodies in my mind. And then, again, Matt came up to me and asked me, why don't you want to release a solo album with your stuff you just collected? And we have 2 or some more songwriters. Alex Byron also part in the song. And Sander Gommens also wrote 2 songs with me together on the album, I suppose it was. Magnus also took part in the song. So basically, We found a good base of songs which we thought would be good to release on the my solo album. Of course, there's one or two tracks which also would easily go on a Primal Fear album. But basically, that's the way it is. If you have a certain kind of style, it always mixes up a little bit here and there. And I was just curious how this works, and it worked pretty well. But then, because some people ask me always, what about a second solo album? And I was simply too busy so far with Primal Fear stuff and everything else. And but never say never. Maybe there's going to be another one, who knows.
Now, you were part of a pretty prominent and really great metal scene back in the 80s that really emerged out of Germany. And, you know, you were a part of that whole scene that really emerged. And, you know, did you think that all these bands like Helloween and Running Wild, all these Noise Records bands, and pretty much everybody out there, a lot of these great bands that came out in the 80s in Germany, you were a part of that, and did you think that this scene would be as big as it became? And what was it like for you back then, you know, coming up through that scene?
No, I never... That's a funny thing. I never really saw it from that perspective, to be an icon or something, because you describe it that way. I always thought from one step to another. I never thought somehow when I did the Gamma Ray thing, oh, I'm going to do this because I want to be famous or whatever. But I always did it because I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And it's still like a red line. We're just out there because we love what we do. We don't start these being a musician to be, oh, I want to be a star, or I want to lay girls or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to get laid, because some might do that, but we're not that this kind of person, because once again, because we love to stand on that stage. We love to produce music. We love to release some music. And I never felt something, wow, this is a very, very, of course, it's also a nice position to be one of them who was there at the 90s when this kind of music came back again. And of course, we were proud to hit the charts with our first album on a good position. And we were always in charts with our albums, but basically, it's a good side factor, but it's not the biggest goal to be in step number one or whatever, to be a star. I mean, on the other hand, you would be a liar if you wouldn't say you do it because of having success as well. But it all comes together. It's hard to describe it in words, because it might come just on a natural base that when you release good stuff, that there's going to be success in the end.
You know, speaking of Tyron Pace, your former band or older band, as you want to call it, you know, has there been any plans on maybe reissuing some of those albums? I know they came out a little while ago, but any plans to do any type of modern day reissues of those older Tyron Pace albums?
I think it was reissued already by Noise Records back in the time. I can't remember. So, I think there's in Japan, there's a special release out with our first two albums. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the second and the third album. The first album, Eye to Eye, never was really, really re-released. But, those things are just, you know, because the rights are on the company side, so you never know what they do with it in the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but basically, there were some questions, there were some offers that we might do a Tyron Pace reunion thing just for one time, one show. Next year, maybe, but this is very, very much future music, which I really don't know what's going to happen, because I don't know. I'm not even in contact with the guy, so first of all, I would do that, of course. But if people are asking if there's a request, I think about it, because yeah, why not? If there's time, if it's not too busy with Primal Fear, if it's it doesn't have to, there's no way it will interfere in Primal Fear stuff. So it has to fit in the right time. So we will see what happens.
Now, I know in the past you have offered vocal lessons to people. You know, they can hire you to be a teacher and trainer. And is that something you're still doing? And I know you've taught people over Skype and you have a studio. And maybe talk a bit about that aspect of your career.
It's not even in the past. It's what I'm still doing. I'm still offering vocal lessons on Skype worldwide, and of course, it's always a little bit better if you work with the people together in my studio, for instance. But it's also possible on Skype to give people the hints they need to somehow have endurance for the voice, and there's some good exercises, and there's some certain things which only I am doing, which I also tell them. So basically, that's what I'm still doing parallel, and that somehow comes together. If the vocalists are here, I have my studio gear here because I sing all my albums and all the stuff I sing here in my studio. And so it sometimes it's the case that they want to record their album here vocal-wise. And that's what I also offer. I also offer vocal productions here because they have the feeling that they are in good hands. And I can always offer my services in terms of finding harmonies and who should know better how to express something or how to be in key, whatever, than me at that time when I have this experience, you know. So it's a little bit of an advertising here, but it's what I'm doing. So Basically, people are interested in recording here in my studio, they're welcome.
Now, I want to reflect on this a little bit. You know, I'm kind of going over your career over the last few years. But anyhow, I wanted to talk a bit about this. I know it's probably been asked before, but I have never asked you the question. You know, what was it like for you as a singer and as a fan to be considered for the job with Judas Priest back, you know, right before they ended up getting Ripper Owens into the band?
It's a great honor. It was a great honor for me. I was really happy. But all the other things which have been said, mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much afterwards, which when the decision was already done and when Ripper got the job, which was absolutely perfect for Judas Priest because he did just an amazing job. You listen to the albums he did and listen how he sings live. Mm-hmm. So it was just the best for Judas Priest. So all the talkings behind that, after that, which is somehow a nasty thing for all of us. Somehow, you know, they were asked about me and I was asked always about Judas Priest, but it was just history, you know, and we all said, well, it was the case that I was one of maybe five, I don't know, on the short list. And I was happy about that. It's a great honor. I mean, that's a great compliment from a band of Judas Priest, you know. Mm-hmm. But basically, that's it. And I was never invited. And they were always fair enough to tell me what's going on. So there was no bullshitting towards me. That's mm-hmm. what I want to repeat because I know why you also asked this, because there was this kind of thing a month ago in a radio station. They said something about how the management of Priest is behaving or stuff, whatever. And then I also heard my name, and I always have to I always said this that they were always fair informing me what's going on. So
right,
nothing bad happened to my side, so that's all good.
Ralph, in my contacts and anybody I've ever talked to from Judas Priest has always been very good. Usually the interviews that I've always done with them have been with Glenn Tipton, and he's a great guy. And, you know, it's really sad to see that Parkinson's and some other things have taken a hold of him, because I always thought he was a very cool guy and a very nice guy. And, you know, everybody in that band was always very nice. And, you know, there's a lot of respect out there for them.
Absolutely. That's true what you say, yes. And all I want to say again is that there's so much respect out there because so many things are being brought in from some haters or whatever. But basically, we musicians, when we are together reading at festivals, it's just a great vibe. You know, there's no competition. Maybe sometimes you have this too, but basically 99% there's a good relationship going on. There's friendship because it's a family thing. Metal, it's bring people together, you know. So why should there be fights and why should there be jealousy and stuff, you know? People who are really talented and who are really having this having the opportunity and having the luck to be on stage and are grateful, you know, we will never hate or would never say bad things about other people if you are satisfied with what you do. If you start hating, if you talk shit about other people, maybe you're not satisfied.
Now, I will tell you a little bit, a little backstory going on. You know, you've always been a very big inspiration to me, Ralph, you know, just as a singer, for example, because you've been so consistent at doing what you've been doing. You've been so good to me over the years, coming on my radio show off and on in the last 20 years. And, you know, I will never forget that, you know, when Stu Marshall from Death Dealer and invited me to sing on the Empires of Eden album, which you also appeared on, I remember listening to, I wasn't sure if I really wanted to do it, and then I remember him playing an excerpt of a track that you were on, and it just, your vocals on that track that you sang, the title track on that album, Architect of Hope, was just blew me out of the water. And I kept thinking, you know, I wasn't able to really sing. You know, they basically said to me, the doctor said to me, that I may not have a singing voice. I had such a bad throat infection that I may not have a singing voice. And so I hadn't sang anything in about 3 years. And then I decided, you know what? Ralph has been doing this for 30 years. If he can do it, I can do it. I mean, and that was the type of inspiration that I had. So I've always been very grateful for Stu, as you know, he's a great guy. He's a great guitar player, for inviting me on singing the album. But you know, the one singer that really inspired me the most on that record was you, because I was a longtime fan, and I knew that, you know, if you had been doing this for as long as you have been, there's no reason I couldn't. And you know, that's something I've wanted to convey to you for a very long time, and I really haven't. So, you know what? There you go. Now you know a little bit of a backstory now.
Thank you. You see, and that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens when you have your idols still singing now at 66. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. And Ronnie, and who inspired and influenced me so much. You know, and you always will worship and there's some value. And like you say, it's a certain kind of value without somehow being the fanboy or whatever. It's just respect and value what you have, and respect in the end, right?
Ralph, any last words to the fans that are going to be listening to the interview on my show?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an advertising again for our new album, Primal Fear Apocalypse. Is going to be released August 10th this year. Look out for it. There's going to be some teasers out pretty soon. We recorded two video clips, and we're going to release them pretty soon. So watch out on our Primal Fear Facebook site, and of course also on our Messing's page, on my page, Magnus, Alex, Tom's, and Francesco's site. We're posting our news soon as we can really talk about it. Like I said, there's going to be the songs released, the video clips. And you will, as a Primal Fear fan, you will like the album. I'm pretty sure I can tell you that. And then, of course, look out for the dates in fall. First of all, here in Europe at the festivals, and in fall also in Europe and in Japan. There's also negotiations and so forth. So look out for the dates as well. And like we always say, stay true and listen to metal.